The scripture reading today is from Mark 11, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people staying there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. I think it's easy for us to imagine Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. We can see the joy of the people's faces as they waved their palm branches and laid their cloaks on the road. We can see Jesus up on top of this colt, probably smiling and waving at everybody, going through this crowd. Only he knew the outcome, though. Everyone there thought, "Man, he's coming to save us." As it says, the coming kingdom of our father David, they thought it was now. But he knew the truth. But I believe, through all this, he was riding through there smiling. We can easily see this, probably because we know Jesus is the King, and he deserves this welcome. Or maybe, growing up, we've heard this Palm Sunday service, we've heard this story. So we can imagine it. Through all these years, we've built up this image. Or maybe, we see this processional in a modern way. You can see this through the red carpet, for example. The stars walking down this red carpet, everybody cheering and cameras flashing and microphones. So we can easily see this processional. It's an easy image. And you know, Jesus, he got this royal welcome, this great welcoming. Because you know, people didn't spread their cloaks on the road for a friend. They didn't spread their cloaks on the road for a senior member of their family. Even for some of their religious leaders, they wouldn't spread their cloak on the road. That was something reserved for a king. They didn't go out into the fields and cut these branches off these trees and get these palms and lay them down and wave them in the air, shouting Hosanna, just for anybody. They didn't do it just because they wanted to, just because they were happy that day. They did it to acknowledge the coming of a king, to welcome a king into this holy city. And they gave him this great royal processional. People followed him. People were ahead of him. They lined the streets as he entered the city gates for the Passover celebration. Now today we have an advantage that they didn't have at that time. We have the Gospels. We have the New Testament. We understand the Old Testament prophecies proclaiming Jesus. We have this advantage. We know Jesus is the King. But even with this knowledge right in front of us, do we readily and joyously welcome Jesus? Would we have done that? One theologian puts before us a thought-provoking image. He says, if Jesus had entered into one of our modern-day cities, leading the parade, he would have probably been arrested immediately. He would have been a wanted man. The FDA would have wanted him for turning water into wine without a license. The EPA for killing fig trees. AMA for practicing medicine without a license. You have teaching without a certificate. You have walking on water. They didn't have life jackets. That's illegal. He would have been a wanted man. And this may be a little of an exaggeration, but I think this story still holds true. These people in these modern day cities in the story, they're waiting something. It's not palms. It's not a warm welcome. It's arrest warrants and legal documents. Like I said, this is an exaggeration. And I think we would be a bit more receptive to Jesus coming to modern day cities. But it does give us this thought-provoking image. What are we waving? What would we wave if Jesus came in our cities today? Would we wave palms and praise Jesus for entering the city? Or would we be like these agencies and have something out for Jesus? Let's think about that for a moment as we go back to the beginning of our scripture reading today and talk about this strange request Jesus had for his disciples. Mark tells us that Jesus and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem, and he sent two of them ahead with this odd request. He said, "In the next village up there, there's a colt that's never been ridden. I want you to go get it for me. I want to ride that." So he even gives them, he has this foresight to give them the answers to the questions they're going to be asked, which I assume we would have the same questions if we looked out the window and there was some random guy standing in our neighbor's car with a clothes hanger. Like, what are you doing? Who are you? Why are you breaking into my neighbor's car? Or as they said, why are you untying this colt? So the disciples had answered the question just as Jesus instructed them to. He said, "The Lord needs it and we'll send it back here immediately." Now this curious audience, these men watching this, they, after this, allowed the disciples to take the colt away. Didn't say another word about it. So I don't know if they were acquainted with Jesus, they knew Jesus beforehand, or if something about this request had just persuaded them and moved on their hearts, and they knew it was right. If this teacher, the prophet of Galilee, and interesting fact, this is one of the few times that Mark uses the word Lord for Jesus. If he had need of this colt, then these men would acknowledge it. They wouldn't contest these men taking the colt. Just let it happen. And this should be our response for God's need of anything we have in our lives. Imagine if we had been those people in the village and the Lord's request had just been a little bit different. What if they came and said, "God needs your time"? Would we have said, "Sure, here it is. Here's our time"? Or would we say, "Sorry, my time's limited. I have very little of it and I need it for myself"? What if these men came to the village and asked you, "God needs your strength"? Would you say yes? Would you give him all your strength? Or would you say, "Sorry, I cannot take on a single more item. I have enough on my plate as it is, and I'm just exhausted. I can't do this"? What if he came in and said, "God needs your mind"? Would we have said yes? Or would we have said, "Sorry, but I have all I can give attention to right now. I have my troubles enough of my own, and I can't deal with anything else"? What kind of priority does God get with us? What are we waving when Jesus comes into our presence? On this morning, in this place, it's easy for us to sing Hosanna, to say yes to all these questions. These are easy questions if we're sitting here thinking about it. But when it really comes to lifting our praise to Jesus in our day-to-day lives, does it come so easily? Does that yes just come rolling off our tongue, no questions asked? Or do we have something holding us back? Do we say, "Sorry, my time is limited. Sorry, I can't take on anything else. Sorry, I'm exhausted as it is"? Do we spread our cloaks on the road? Do we wave our palms? Or do we sit back and watch? I don't know about you, but I like my coat. This is one of my favorite suit coats. And to lay it on the road, this dusty road, it wasn't like these roads we have today. It was dirty, it was nasty, dusty roads. For a coat to walk on, I don't know, that'd be a tough thing. It's not very appealing to me. But yet, Jesus asks us for no less. The example that the crowd sets for us in this processional, this image they give us is that we should give our very best in praise to Jesus. That we should surrender ourselves in worship, offer the best of ourselves, not just our coats, but our minds, our hearts, our strength, our skills, everything we have to welcome the King. No matter what it is, no matter if it's a pen, if it's an expensive coat, if it's anything in our lives, do we ever spread anything costly before Jesus? Do we ever put Jesus before anything important in our lives? But people in Jerusalem, they didn't just lay their cloaks on the ground, as it says. They waved their palm branches, and they welcomed this King by shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." It's not that we should just throw our coats down. We should offer our whole selves to Him. We should truly proclaim our lives in worship. Hosanna is an interesting word. In Hebrew, it mixes this high praise to God with a prayer that the Jewish people constantly prayed, that God will save His people and do it right away. So it's a praise and a request. Hebrew and Aramaic, to say blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, basically means welcome in the name of the Lord. Welcome, God. Welcome into our lives. So welcome, we must say today. Welcome, most wonderful God. Save your people, O Lord. If we're to truly know the salvation of God, we must proclaim that it is true. Jesus is often greeted in scenarios with a question mark. He's never really greeted with an exclamation point like He is in the story. Examples of this is His neighbors when He's at Nazareth say, "Where did this man get all this? Where did he get this power?" John the Baptist, when he went to prison, he said, "Are you He who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Pilate, "So you are a king?" We have all these question marks. And today, all these question marks remain. We ask questions like, is He really the way? Is He really the King? Is He really around? All these questions are okay to ask. But the lesson this Palm Sunday is that Christ is really the King. Here at the gates of Jerusalem, the people, they're no longer asking, is He the King? Is He the one that's supposed to come save us? They're proclaiming, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest," with exclamation marks. That's the big key, these exclamation marks. They know, and they're given all their praise. We must declare Christ, even in the dark days of our lives. Even when it seems impossible, not to just lay our coats before Him, but even raise our voices in praise. One of the greatest journeys any of us can ever make is the journey from this question mark, all these questions we have, to the exclamation point, to all these praises, all these truths and knowledge. It is then when Jesus becomes real in our lives. It is then when we throw our coats on the ground on this dusty road. It's not a big deal, it's just a coat. It's when we proclaim Christ our Lord, the Lord of our lives, that we can say, "Yes, God, You can have my time. You can have my strength. You can have my mind." It is then when we can shout, "Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." That is nothing to surrender all of ourselves to God and lift our voices in praise. That's our goal, is to get to that point. For Jesus and for us, this dark week lies ahead. And for many of us, there's a darkness in our lives that we have to face on a daily basis. But it is the light of this future resurrection that Jesus has been talking about this whole time that dispels all of this darkness. And when we gather here next Sunday on that Easter morning and truly celebrate the risen Christ, then we must be willing, even in the darkness, to offer our coat, to throw our coats on the ground, to wave the palm branches, a shout at the top of our lungs, "Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna in the highest. Our celebration of the Lord Jesus must extend far beyond Palm Sunday. Our celebration, it must extend past Easter. It's a day-to-day celebration, and it must reach into the very depths of our hearts, the very depths of our lives, when we can completely surrender and praise that we give ourselves over to God, that the darkness might truly be overcome once and for all. If you'll pray with me. Lord, be with us through this week. Be with us through our lives. Give us the knowledge. Give us the strength. Give us the skill to best proclaim you and to help build your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.